studios of Boise State Public Radio. I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. The Idaho legislature kicks off its 2023 session today, and unlike past years, nobody is quite sure what's going to happen inside the walls of the Idaho State House. There are dozens of new faces among the 105 lawmakers after retirements, redistricting, and election battles overturned some long-held seats. Now, a lot of those new Republican lawmakers lean more conservative, and without a voting track record, it can be difficult to get a feel for what kind of legislation might shake out this year. So joining us today to talk about all of this is Jacqueline Kettler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Boise State University. Jacqueline, so nice to have you back on the show.
Happy to be here.
So can we start with just a little bit of background? As I mentioned, a lot of new faces in the legislature this year. Why is that?
Well, I mean, last year we had redistricting, and after redistricting, we tend to have a lot of new faces, right? Because we have new districts. So there's often a lot of retirements, or incumbents get put into the same district and have to run against each other. So because of the redistricting process, we often end up with a good chunk of new legislators. But then, in addition to that, we had some key primary election defeats, really adding to the number of new legislators joining the Idaho legislature.
So there are 39 rookies or first-timers who are taking a seat today as the legislature begins. Jacqueline, what do we know so far about some of these new lawmakers? I mean, do we have anything more than, you know, campaign slogans to indicate how they might vote?
Well, I think that's a key question, and not just how they will vote, but what their priorities might be. In some of those primary defeats, it was the more conservative candidate that was successful. And so particularly in the Senate, we may see some more conservative policies making it forward, having more support than what we've seen in recent sessions. But it's always a key question. How will new legislators behave and how will they vote?
Well, and I think it's interesting too, Jacqueline, that, you know, not only how will they vote, how will they behave, but the learning curve that they're under, right? I think sometimes we forget about that, is that it's not just winning the election. They now really have to learn, I mean, for lack of a better word, like almost a whole new culture and a whole new language in a way.
For sure. And, you know, the legislative process is complicated. It's not, you know, it takes a while to learn. And so trying to understand parliamentary procedure, the legislative process, and, you know, how to, you know, just that whole process, in addition to how do you represent your constituency services. And so being a legislator is a pretty challenging position, in addition to perhaps trying to balance other responsibilities. And so there is a big learning curve. And, you know, for some new members, they may sit back a little bit this session and do more observation, trying to figure things out. But we may see other members really dive right in and try to immediately be making a big impact. And so that will also be interesting to watch.
Mm-hmm. And we did lose one Democrat in the legislature, which only makes the GOP majority even bigger. But I mean, is that going to make that big of a difference?
Well, we did see Democrats lose one position on the Joint Finance Appropriations Committee, something that the Democrats were quite upset about, that they had long had that additional position. So, I mean, in that way, losing that additional seat in the legislature may have contributed to losing that position on JFAC. You know, in terms of whether or not that one position in the legislature can shape, you know, have a big impact on policy and what policy is passing, maybe not. But I mean, in terms of trying to grow the party, representing Democratic voters, all those types of things, it definitely is a loss for the party.
And can we go back to talking about JFAC for a minute, the Joint Finance Appropriations Committee? Because as you mentioned, losing that seat, there really could be a dramatic impact. Because for years, this has been a fairly even committee, Republican, Democrats. And when we're talking about money and finances, Jacqueline, I mean, could we really see some differences this year? I'm thinking in particular with higher education, where there were many people on the more moderate side who really wanted to defund a lot of these institutions.
Right. I think those are going to be some key debates again this time. And having, you know, losing that voice that may be a really important support for public education, particularly at the higher education level, may impact the conversations, right? We mm-hmm. will see a pretty large budget surplus again. And so that JFAC will have some room to work and decide how to allocate that. So again, just for the Democratic Party to lose that additional representation in those conversations, just it harms their ability to impact those conversations.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in JFAC because of losing that one seat.
Right. And JFAC, almost half of the committee is new. It's made up of 10 senators, 10 representatives, and I believe 9 members are new. And so that's also going to change the dynamic of a very important committee.
So the Idaho Senate is usually the more moderate influence, I guess, between the two bodies, right? But with new conservative members coming into the Senate and a few conservative House members joining the Senate this year, could that change, Jacqueline? I mean, because as I said, I mean, in the past, no matter you know what ideas are floated, you know, on the other side, you know, the House seems to be like, okay, wait a minute, let's take a step back and let's look at this. Could that potentially go away?
Yeah, I think that's a dynamic we'll be really watching carefully, because the Senate, especially some of the committee chairs, have been kind of key at holding bills mm-hmm. back from leaving committee and going to the floor that were much more conservative or more controversial. And we've seen substantial change in the Senate makeup, but also in committee chairs. Only one committee chair in the Senate is the same as the previous session. And so those changes may also really affect what types of bills are making it out of committee. And committees are incredibly important in the Idaho legislature for what bills do make it to the floor. And so we could see some of the bills that the Senate has been kind of keeping in committee, mm-hmm. not allowing to go to the floor. Maybe some of those will start making it to the floor now.
Which will then be interesting to watch unfold if that happens, for sure. So Jacqueline, we had mentioned JFAC and that we have new members on there, right? So there that could definitely have an impact. But there have been a lot of changes in leadership positions, both in the legislature as well as in these committees like JFAC. So can you talk a little bit about that and how that may impact the session as a whole?
Definitely. I mean, still talking about the committees, we do have mm-hmm. a lot of new committee chairs, and committee membership has shifted some as well in both chambers. And so that will likely really affect what types of bills are receiving a lot of attention and what will make it out of committee to the floor. In addition to some of those chamber leadership changes, like we have a new Speaker of the House, Mike Moyle, and, you know, how does he compare to Bedke? And are there different bills that he's willing to or interested in having move forward throughout the process? You know, they're in kind of his style in leading the chamber. Mm-hmm. All those types of things will be key for how this session operates as well.
So Jacqueline, what do you think will be the top issues this year in the legislature?
Well, I mean, I think we're still kind of figuring out what some might be, and Governor Little in his State of the State address will help kind of identify his priorities, but mm-hmm. it seems like there's going to be some key education issues, and education has been a big issue for the last several years anyways. One, because in the special session last year, the legislature did dedicate I believe it's almost $410 million new funding for education, including career training, but that still needs to be allocated and appropriated into what it will be spent in. So that'll be a key debate. Additionally, I think with some of the changes we're seeing in terms of membership and committee leadership, they'll be interested in whether something like school choice or school vouchers will be more mm-hmm. successful in moving through the legislative process than what we've seen in previous sessions.
And I think that is a good point with school choice, Jacqueline, because that could be something where we've seen changes in these committees and maybe these legislators being more conservative. I think this is definitely going to be something to watch, and then seeing that impact potentially in our K through 12 schools if something like this does go through.
Right. And it was a key issue in some of those primary election kind of defeats. And so I do think that that's going to be one particularly big issue this legislative session. I think abortion will probably,
No, go ahead.
Abortion will likely be another big issue, especially given just recent legal changes, though we did see the Idaho Supreme Court uphold Idaho's abortion bans. But we may see some different types of proposals on that issue as well this session.
And could some of those issues, I'm trying to remember back to, frankly, some of the fallout from these very restrictive abortion laws now on the books, Jacqueline, that lawmakers, Republicans in particular, had said, we may have to come back and revamp some of this because we didn't basically think through how this would impact people.
Right. I mean, some of these bans were passed without, knowing whether Roe v. Wade would be overturned, which it was in the Dobbs decision last year. But now there's increasingly some concerns about women's health and safety and mothers' health and safety and how some of these bans may be impacting women in terms of miscarriage or other types of things. And so there may be some, there may be a few different types of proposals we see trying to kind of address some of these issues resulting from these bans.
Yeah. So we heard from some lawmakers in last week's legislative preview that property taxes and grocery taxes will be big issues. But I mean, Jacqueline, we hear that every single year and not much happens. So any chance that we might see a change in that this year?
Always an interesting question. You're right. It comes up all the time. And there's some bipartisan support for removing or dropping the grocery tax. Governor Little's always been a little hesitant in terms of, and this year, bringing up things like what are groceries? How would we define it? And so clearly there's some technical challenges there, but I do think we're seeing a lot of people struggling, whether it's in relation to like inflation, affordability. And so I am interested in whether some legislators will really try to focus on things like the grocery tax, property taxes, to try to bring relief to people.
We mentioned this record surplus of money once again that the Idaho legislature will be dealing with. And what I have found interesting as we see this over time is that it seems when there is less money, budgets are put together quicker. It seems to be easier. So are we going to do you think maybe see more battles around how this money should be allocated? I mean, it just seems that more money causes more problems from a legislative standpoint.
I do think that's the case, because now you have more decisions to make, right? Okay, we have this money. How are we going to use it? What are we going to do? Are we going to increase spending? Are we going to reform taxes? There's all sorts of possibilities, and everyone has different priorities. And so it does make it much more difficult when compared to when you're like, well, we don't really have much room to do much. So, we're just kind of keeping things fairly stable. Here, where do we really want to invest, and what needs investments? And that really gets into questions about priorities and what you think government should be doing. And so I think that's when we do get to these kind of key policy debates about how to spend that money.
Well, and I think that's a good point that you bring up about this idea of how much does government want to get involved, right, when it comes to money. And it seems in some ways more money also means sometimes government does get involved more. And I think that comes on both sides, Democrat or Republican, because there's just so much at stake from a financial standpoint.
Right. I think that's right. And I mean, there's also, there's ongoing needs of different sorts, but it's always hard if you're investing money in one place, you're not investing it in the other place. There's going to be, you know, and so you're trying to make decisions about what is going to be the biggest priority. And in terms of if you're increasing government services or support, you know, what is most needed, those can be challenging conversations, which is where it, you know, it is helpful to have the additional process to really dig into and think about where money is needed, what the priorities are.
And how important is it in that regard then to also be listening to constituents, Jacqueline? And then we go back to all of these new lawmakers who have not been in this position before as to, you know, not just listening to their constituents, but honestly dealing with their wants and needs or the things that they don't agree with or may agree with.
Definitely. And it can be hard sometimes for legislators to fully know what their constituents' preferences are or major concerns. Now, with so many, you know, having had some competitive primary elections and things like that, maybe these new legislators have a better understanding perhaps of what their citizens really want and really desire. Mm-hmm. But it is kind of a challenging part of the process as well, is how do you balance your, as an individual legislator, your major goals in addition to trying to represent your constituents' wants and needs? And how do you communicate with constituents? Another really key part of being a legislator is communicating with constituents. And so that's another thing that these new legislators will be figuring out how they want to do that as well.
And before we wrap up, you know, we have seen this both locally and nationally, what can happen when new lawmakers come into office. I mean, sometimes their new ideas can be novel. They can be exciting. They can really, I think, engage people in the process. On the flip side, they can sometimes come in and these ideas can be kind of disruptive, for lack of a better term. What are you expecting or maybe hoping to see in this session this year?
I think we'll probably see a little bit of a mix. I think some legislators are probably coming in with, you know, really a lot of energy and excitement and concern of representing their constituents. And I think other legislators may come in with a very different style and want to be more kind of disrupt politics as usual. And so I think that's where it's always interesting to see how legislators work with each other, as well as how leadership kind of manages and ensures kind of a collaborative environment. But I think those are really interesting questions to kind of see how legislators, how they do their job. And it's, you know, ideology, policy goals, all those things matter, but style can also matter and really influence how successful a legislator is in passing their preferred legislation. So definitely some of the things we'll be watching with so many new members this session.
Well, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for joining us and breaking all of this down.
Always great to join you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This new year, LifeKit wants to help you succeed because everyone needs a little help being human.
It can seem so overwhelming. You're not alone.
Who can I commit to being?
If you want to do something, then just do it. Just take that first step.
Great advice every week. Listen to LifeKit from NPR.